So Damien, you are exactly 1 week away from bringing home your new German Shepherd puppy. 7 days.
Yep, the final countdown. It's a huge deal.
It really is. And you know, most people think bringing home a GSD means like endless cuddles, maybe a few chewed up slippers, and then eventually you just get this majestic dog that naturally protects the house.
Right, which is definitely not how it works.
No, not at all. The
Yeah.
reality is far more intense.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is that the first 7 days you have that puppy, they essentially dictate the next 12 years of their life.
Absolutely.
Like one wrong move or one inconsistent rule, and you aren't just raising a naughty dog. You are actively creating, you know, a 90-pound nervous liability. But if you get it right, you build this absolutely unbreakable bond with one of the most capable animals on the planet.
It's a really high-stakes transition. I always tell people, think of it like professional sports. When a team drafts a generational talent, like a high-performance rookie, they don't just, hand him a jersey, point to the field, and say, "Go figure it out."
Right, they never do
Yeah,
that.
exactly. They spend months preparing the facility, they align the coaching staff, they build an entire ecosystem specifically designed so that the athlete literally cannot fail. The infrastructure dictates the success long before the first whistle even blows.
And Damien, that is exactly why we are talking to you today.
Yeah.
We know you are feeling that anxiety building up, and honestly, you should be. It is a massive commitment, but take a breath because today, we are stepping into the film room.
Yeah, consider this deep dive your ultimate custom-built playbook.
We're taking that coach-to-athlete approach to get you completely ready. We are cutting through all the contradictory internet noise. We've pulled the absolute most critical intelligence from your source materials, specifically the Orangeville German Shepherd Homecoming Guide and the Puppy Training Blueprint.
Our mission today is to hand you the exact schedule, the environmental setup, and really the psychological framework you need to engineer absolute predictability for this dog.
So let's start with the physical environment. Because before you even think about the puppy's daily routine, the physical field has to be prepped to enforce good habits automatically.
Right, setting the field.
Yeah. And looking through the blueprint's holistic safety standards, it makes one thing abundantly clear. Free roaming is a recipe for absolute disaster. Like, if your puppy is out of your sight for even a moment, they aren't just exploring.
They're actively rehearsing bad behaviors. They're learning, how incredibly satisfying it is to shred a baseboard. Or they're discovering that your expensive living room rug makes a really highly absorbent bathroom.
Which is a nightmare.
It is. And to prevent this without turning your life into a 24/7 wrestling match, you have to rely on two highly effective tools: baby gates and a house line.
Okay, baby gates make sense.
Right, they're your barricade system.
Yeah.
They segment your home so you have total effortless control over the puppy's zone.
But the house line concept, that was entirely new to me when I was reading through these materials. So it's a light, cheap leash that you leave attached to the puppy's flat collar whenever they're indoors and out of the crate. Like they literally just drag it around the kitchen.
They just drag it. Yep. And the psychology behind this is brilliant.
How so?
Well, dogs communicate heavily with their mouths and their body space. If your puppy starts jumping on the counter or grabs a shoe, your human instinct is to dart forward and grab them with your hands.
Oh, yeah, of course. You reach for them.
Right. But to a German Shepherd puppy, that sudden hand movement means one of two things. Either you are initiating a highly stimulating game of chase,
Which they love.
exactly, or your hands are becoming a source of physical conflict.
Which means they learn to dodge you or they start nipping at your fingers.
Precisely. I mean, consider the alternative. With a house line, you don't use your hands at all. You simply step on the leash or you calmly pick up the end of it. You stop the behavior in its tracks with zero emotional escalation.
You just remove the conflict entirely.
Zero wrestling, just quiet control.
I love that. But okay, let's unpack this next part because reading the puppy training blueprint, the heavy emphasis on crate training, what they call the den concept, it gave me pause.
Really? How come?
Well, I know a lot of people feel immense guilt putting a puppy in a crate during the day, especially when they're actually working from home. It
Yeah.
feels kind of counterintuitive, right? If you're home, shouldn't the dog be out bonding with you?
I get that. We project a lot of human emotion onto crates. We look at it and we see a cage.
Yeah, exactly.
But we have to look at this through the lens of a working dog's neurology. Allowing a German Shepherd puppy to have unregulated freedom when you are distracted, like, say, you're cooking or answering emails, is doing them a massive disservice.
Because they're rehearsing those bad behaviors again.
Yes. And also, in the wild, Canines actively seek out small, dark dens to feel secure when they are vulnerable or tired. But because a modern crate has a door that locks, the puppy has to be methodically taught to view it as that safe den.
And there's a specific tactic the sources mention for those first few critical nights that I thought was fascinating. They suggest physically elevating the crate.
Yeah, this is a game changer. For the first 3 to 4 days, you put the crate up on something sturdy, like a bedside table, right next to your bed.
Wait, really? Right next to the bed?
Right next to it. Think about what the puppy is experiencing. They have just been separated from the warmth and the heartbeat of their litter for the very first time in their lives.
Wow. Yeah.
Being put on the floor in a plastic box feels incredibly isolating. It triggers a primal survival panic. By elevating the crate to your eye level, the puppy can hear your breathing. They can see your face.
Which drastically reduces that nighttime anxiety.
Exactly.
Plus, it allows you to just tick your fingers through the wire to soothe them if they whimper, and you will hear them the exact second they wake up needing to go potty, which is going to save your carpets.
Which is huge. And then once they settle into that routine, you just transition the crate back to the floor. But, you know, the crate serves another vital function during the day.
Right, for naps.
Well, more than just naps. A German Shepherd's brain is genetically wired to constantly analyze its environment for threats or changes. If they are in a busy living room trying to sleep, their eyes might be closed, but their central nervous system is still pinging.
Oh, they're always on duty.
Always. So a covered, quiet crate provides necessary sensory deprivation. You are literally giving their brain permission to finally power down.
Okay, so your physical field is set, but an optimized environment is completely useless if the people inside it are sending mixed signals.
Oh, absolutely.
We have to talk about the one voice rule. We're moving from physical consistency to verbal consistency. And Damien, this requires everyone in your household to be on the exact same page before that puppy even walks through the door.
Yeah, because German Shepherds are highly intelligent, incredibly observant animals. They thrive on clear structure and hierarchy. The one voice rule mandates total alignment.
Meaning everyone has to use the exact same command words.
Exactly. Like down in cannot mean get off the couch to one person and lie down on the floor to another person.
Okay, but picture this, because every family has this dynamic. You've got that one fun family member who thinks it's hilarious when the puppy jumps
Oh,
up.
there's always one.
Right. They say, oh, it's fine. He's just saying hi. Or they sneak them table scraps just this once because, you know, they're small and cute. How much damage does that actually do to the dog's psychology? Because I feel like we often think the dog will just figure out who the strict parent is.
It really doesn't work like that. It actually derails their psychological stability.
Yeah.
Humans have episodic memory, right? We remember specific events and context. Dogs have associative memory. They map immediate physical actions to immediate consequences.
Okay.
You have roughly a 1 to 1.5 second window to mark and reward a behavior for the dog's brain to actually connect the action to the consequence.
Wow, that is a tight window. So if the fun family member is delaying a command or laughing while the dog jumps up.
The dog indexes that jumping behavior as highly successful. But worse than that, it creates severe anxiety. To a GSD, inconsistency means the pack has no leadership. And if there is no clear leadership, the working dog feels a genetic obligation to step up and manage the environment
Oh,
themselves.
so they take over.
They try to. And that is exactly what leads to reactivity, neurosis, and stress barking at literally everything that moves. For a German Shepherd, bending the rules doesn't make you their friend, it makes you unpredictable.
And unpredictable makes a working dog deeply insecure.
Exactly.
That is a huge paradigm shift. Consistency equals security. Okay, so your team playbook is set. Let's look at how you actually run the clock each day. The Orangeville Guide outlines a chronobiological schedule called the 2-hour rhythm.
Yes.
And I'm going to push back here for a second because a strict 2-hour loop sounds incredibly rigid. I mean, Damien is bringing this dog into a real human life.
Yeah.
What if you work from home and a Zoom call runs long? Does the whole system just collapse?
The harsh truth. The biology of a puppy does not care about your Zoom
Fair
schedule.
enough.
Sticking to this 2-hour loop is the absolute non-negotiable key to preventing housebreaking accidents and behavioral meltdowns. Puppies at this age have a massive metabolic turnover and a rapidly developing central nervous system.
So they just can't hold it.
They literally lack the physiological capacity to regulate their own energy or hold their bladder for extended periods.
Let's break down the actual mechanics of this 2-hour loop so Damien knows exactly what to do. It starts with the wake and potty phase, which is roughly 15 to 20 minutes.
Right. The absolute instant the puppy wakes up, you carry them or walk them on a leash straight to the potty spot. This is about immediate physiological relief.
And once they successfully eliminate, they get heavily rewarded.
Huge rewards, yes.
Then you shift into play or structured work for about 30 to 45 minutes.
This is the cognitive engagement phase. You aren't just letting them mindlessly run around the backyard. This is where you do obedience training, impulse control games, structured play. You are burning their energy with absolute purpose.
After that comes decompression, which the guide marks at 10 to 15 minutes. And this was a light bulb moment for me. Why not just go from play straight into the crate?
Think about the internal state of the dog. After 30 minutes of structured play, their heart rate is up, their adrenaline is flowing, and they are in a state of sympathetic arousal.
The fight or flight nervous system.
Exactly. If you throw an amped up German Shepherd into a crate and shut the door, they will scream and panic. The decompression phase is about intentionally guiding their body into parasympathetic dominance.
The rest and digest state.
Right. You do this with like a chew toy, a lick mat, or a very slow, calm, methodical petting just to physically lower their heart rate.
And only once they're in that calm state, you move to mandatory rest. 60 to 90 minutes inside the covered crate.
That rest period is when the magic happens. During deep sleep, cortisol levels drop. Canine growth hormone is released, and the brain undergoes memory consolidation.
So they're actually learning while they sleep.
Yes. The commands and impulse control you taught the dog during the work phase are actually indexed into the dog's long-term memory during this specific sleep cycle.
It's just like an Olympic lifter. You don't keep an athlete in the gym lifting heavy weights for 6 hours straight. The actual muscle growth, the skill indexing, that all happens during the recovery sleep.
Absolutely.
If you skip the recovery, you just break the athlete down. An overtired puppy isn't a sleepy puppy. It's a bitey, chaotic, destructive puppy.
The two-hour rhythm literally saves the dog from its own exhaustion.
Now, the most stressful part of that, Lou, for any new owner is avoiding bathroom accidents in the house. And the secret to perfect potty training lies entirely in managing the transitions between those phases we just talked about.
Transition management is everything.
You need to master what the sources call the state change rule. I always thought you just took a puppy out, like every hour on the hour, but this is entirely reflex driven.
It is. A puppy's bladder control is directly tied to changes in their physical state. They pee because their state changed. If they transition from sleeping to walking, their bladder drops. If they go from eating a meal to walking around and sniffing, their bowels move. It is an uncontrollable physiological reflex.
Which means the puppy must be taken outside the exact second it wakes up, the exact second it finishes eating, and the exact second a heavy play session ends.
Yes.
You do not wait 2 minutes to finish an email. You drop what you are doing.
This requires active, intense supervision. If your eyes aren't locked on the puppy, they must be tethered to you via that house line or safely in the crate.
Because the consequences are just too high.
Yeah, and the reason this is so unforgiving comes down to biological rewards. When a dog squats and pees on your soft living room rug, they experience the immense physical relief of an empty bladder.
Oh, so the peeing itself is the reward.
That feeling of relief is a primary reinforcer. It feels amazing to them. One accident sets your training back a week because you now have to untrain the deeply satisfying association the dog just made with your rug.
And here's the detail that blew my mind. The potty timer resets when the dog actually eliminates, not when you step back inside the house.
Oh, it's such a common trap. You take the dog out at 9 a.m., they pee immediately, but then you stay in the yard playing until 9:30 a.m.
Right.
Their bladder has been filling for that entire half hour of play. They are due to go out again much sooner than you think. You have to reset your mental clock based on the elimination itself.
That makes so much sense. The sources also highly recommend keeping a physical potty log, writing down the exact times they eat, sleep, and go. It sounds incredibly tedious, I'll admit, but it is brilliant for spotting biological trends.
It really is.
Like you might discover your puppy is a double pooper in the mornings, meaning they go once, play for 5 minutes, and then go again. If you didn't track that data, you'd bring the puppy inside after the first poop, and boom, accident on the floor.
Data completely removes the guesswork.
Okay, so we've mastered the sleep and potty schedule, but all that physical and mental output burns a ton of calories. How you fuel this puppy plays a massive role in their behavior. And for a deep-chested breed like a German Shepherd, it's literally a matter of life and death.
It really is. First, let's look at the feeding structure. Mealtime is work time. The Orangeville Guide specifically mentions utilizing high-quality local sources like prehistoric raw or gabo.
Right.
But regardless of the fuel you choose, portions must be split into 3 to 4 smaller meals a day for a puppy. And dogs do not need a bowl of food left out all day.
Because free feeding creates a grazing habit.
Right.
Which destroys their food drive for training.
Exactly.
And it makes those potty schedules we just talked about impossible to track.
Spot on. You want to use their daily kibble allowance as rewards during your structured work sessions, or dispense it via slow feeder bowls, or even just spread it out on a cookie sheet.
To force them to eat slower.
Right. Slowing down their intake is absolutely critical because we have to talk about GDV, gastric dilatation volvulus, commonly known as bloat.
Yeah.
And Damien, pay close attention here because this is the most serious medical warning in this entire playbook.
I was reading the medical section on bloat, and honestly, it terrified me. The materials use a hammock analogy. How does a dog's stomach actually get to the point of flipping?
So imagine the German Shepherd's stomach sitting inside their deep, narrow chest cavity. It is suspended loosely, very much like a hammock tied between two trees.
Okay.
If you fill that hammock with a large, heavy meal, and then the dog chugs a massive volume of water, that stomach becomes a heavily weighted pendulum.
Oh, no.
If the dog then runs around the yard, jumps off the couch, or rolls over on his back, the momentum of that heavy weight can literally cause the stomach to swing and flip over on itself, twisting both the entry and exit points completely shut.
So it traps all the digesting gases inside.
The gases are trapped, the stomach rapidly expands like a balloon inside the chest, and the immense pressure completely cuts off blood flow to the vital organs and the heart.
It is excruciatingly painful, and without immediate emergency surgery, it is fatal within a matter of hours.
That is horrifying. So what are the strict protocols to ensure this never happens?
First, as we established, split meals into smaller portions so the stomach is never overly heavy. Second, you can pre-soak dry kibble in a little warm water before feeding.
Why is that help?
This prevents the kibble from expanding rapidly in the stomach, and it stops the dog from binge drinking a gallon of water right after they eat because they are so dehydrated from the dry food.
And the physical activity rule, to be absolutely clear. If you just fed the puppy, and 5 minutes later he gets a massive burst of energy and wants to play, you do not take him out to the yard to play fetch.
Absolutely not. That energy burst means it is immediately crate time. You must enforce a strict 60 to 90 minute rest period in the crate immediately after every single meal.
Wow.
No running, no jumping, no roughhousing. You have to let the food digest and the stomach empty before any physical activity resumes.
We've secured the puppy's physical safety. But Damien, you are adopting a German Shepherd. They are bred to work. To truly master this breed, you need to understand how to exhaust them without breaking their bodies.
Right. Everyone knows the saying, a tired dog is a happy dog. But for a GSD, the definition of tired is widely misunderstood.
People think they need to run them for miles.
Exactly. Most people think they need to run the dog for miles to burn off that crazy puppy energy. But juvenile German Shepherds have open growth plates. Their joints are soft, making them highly prone to developmental orthopedic diseases like hip and elbow dysplasia.
So you cannot just take this puppy for a 5-mile run.
No.
If you do, you risk permanently damaging their skeletal structure. The secret to exhausting a German Shepherd is brain work over leg work.
You satisfy their intense working drive safely through mental stimulation.
It's the exact difference between running a marathon and taking a 4-hour calculus exam.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. If you take the calculus exam, you haven't stressed your knees or your joints at all, but I guarantee you are going to sleep like a baby afterward because your brain is completely fried.
That is exactly the goal. You exhaust the puppy through obedience drills, teaching them to hold a place command on a mat while you walk away, using puzzle toys, and having them navigate new complex environments.
It's all mental.
5 minutes of intense mental focus, like making them hold eye contact with you before they get a piece of kibble, will tire a GSD puppy out faster and much safer than a 30-minute sprint in the backyard.
Okay, Damien, let's bring this all home. We've covered the physical field setup, the verbal team rules, the chronobiological game clock, the state change transitions, the fueling, and the mental game.
It's a lot.
If it feels like a mountain of information, that's because it is. But here is the most important takeaway. The blueprint has already solved the mysteries of puppy raising for you.
Yeah, you do not need to invent new strategies. You don't need to guess why the dog is acting out. You just need to execute the plays we've outlined, manage the environment, and ruthlessly follow that 2-hour clock.
You've got this.
Yeah.
Seriously. You are prepared. But I want to leave you with one final deeper thought that really struck me when going through these materials.
What's that?
Well, raising a German Shepherd to this level of structured discipline, what the trainers call the service dog standard, it obviously trains the dog, but ultimately it acts as a mirror for you, the owner.
Oh, it really does.
Right.
You cannot fake consistency with a working dog. They see right through you. Mm-hmm. Training this puppy is going to teach you profound lessons about your own patience, your own emotional regulation, and your ability to be a calm, steady leader when things get chaotic.
It forces you to become a highly intentional communicator.
Absolutely. It changes you as much as it trains them.
So, Damien, when you bring that high-performance rookie home next week, remember, the facility is prepped, the playbook is in your hands, and the environment is perfectly designed for success. You and this puppy are going to make an incredible team.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Enjoy the journey.